15 years ago in Anderson, Indiana. I don't think I've seen them since that time. So it's really a pleasure to see them, and they're living in this area part-time now. But it's I'm glad to see them, appreciate them coming to be with us tonight. And not just them, but anyone and everyone that's visiting tonight, we want you to know that you're our honored guest, and we appreciate the fact that you've come to study this series of lessons with us tonight. Now, what we're trying to do is to build on each lesson night after night. We talked in our first lesson about the fact that God created the world and made it a place perfectly fitted for our life. He gave us all the beauty and all the wonder of this world. And then He created us with the power of free choice, and I can do with my life as I please. And in our lesson last evening, we talked about the fact that God is in control and that He still wants what's best for me. We looked at the example of God's providence and how He takes care of His children here on this earth. And so we emphasized all day yesterday that God is the creator, the controller, and the sustainer of our life here on this earth. And so tonight, what we're going to do is look at that third point. How does God sustain my life here on this earth? Now we know that what does He do for the world? He makes it a beautiful place, and He provides rain and fruitful seasons and harvest for those that live here on this earth, for all of us. But He does special things for those that are His children. And so that's the purpose of our lesson tonight, is to ask the question, why should I be a child of God? And so if tonight you haven't made a commitment to God or to Christ, we hope to convince you to do that even tonight before you leave. But as I've said throughout the meeting, my purpose is not just for the non-believer or those who are not committed to God, but I want to encourage the faith of each and every one of us that are children of God. I want us to see what a wonderful life we have now and with the hope of eternity after this life is over. I went to Florida College down here. After my freshman year, somebody recruited me to sell Bibles. So I went home back to Glasgow, Kentucky. And so I had all these Bibles, no training, but I had these Bibles to sell. So I went around the neighborhood a few times and knocked on the door and said, would you like to buy a Bible? Or you don't want to buy a Bible, do you? So guess how many I sold? Mom and Dad and a few other family members bought one. But what? I wasn't very much of a Bible salesman, okay? But since that time, I've learned a few of the skills of selling, because for the last 45 years, I've been trying to sell the gospel. I've been trying to convince people that they need the Word of God and the truth that's contained in there. And so, what does a salesman have to do? Two things. Number one, you've got to create a need. You've got to convince the person what? That they need something. And then number two, you have to convince them that you can fulfill that need. Okay? So, why should I be a Christian? Well, what's the need? Well, we all have that free choice, right? So what have we done with that? Now Romans 3:23 says what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what does that mean? That means that every one of us who reaches adulthood or the ability to make choices between right and wrong is going to do what? We're going to sin. We're going to transgress God's will. So what does that mean? That unless I do something to free myself of that sin while I'm here on this earth, where am I going to spend eternity? Not with God. No sin is going to enter heaven. So there's our need. We need to get rid of our sin. How do we do that? Well, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ and the blessings that we receive from Him. And so, what is a Christian? Well, the word is Christ plus I-A-N. think the best definition of a Christian is this one. And that is that a Christian is one who believes the doctrine of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, I've got to believe that the God of heaven loved me enough to send his only begotten Son here to this earth to live as a man and then die the most cruel and shameful death known to man. Now, if I don't believe that, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. But that's just the beginning. And I only have to believe the doctrine of Christ, but I've got to rest on his sacrifice. Now, what does that mean? That means there's nothing I can do on my own to free myself of my sins. I can't buy my way out of sin. I can't be a good enough person to get rid of my sins. There's nothing that I can do on this earth that can save myself. Jesus Christ is my only salvation. And I must imbibe his Spirit. Is the world full of people who know the story about Jesus Christ and they claim to believe in him? But what? Do they try to live like him? See, he's our example, and so I've got to imbibe his Spirit and I've got to live like he lived. I've got to imitate his example and then what? Live to do his work. Now, if I'm willing to do that, will it be worth it? You know, what's a good salesman tell you? Look at all these benefits you're going to get. Well, what are they? Well, Ephesians 1 and 3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." The purpose of the lesson tonight is to tell you what those blessings are. What does God give us in Jesus Christ? Well, number one, we get the remission of sins. What does that mean? Well, it means that whatever I have done that's contrary to God's will, it can be forgiven. If I'm willing to accept Jesus Christ and his gospel. Notice John 1:29 says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming to him." Now this is John the Baptist. And he says what? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What did that mean? What did God do for us? You know, the three words. Love, grace, and mercy. God loved us enough that he sent us a benefit or grace that we did not deserve. He sent his only begotten Son here to this earth so that he could have what? Mercy or compassion on mankind who was in sin. So, what does this mean? What's the Lamb of God? Well, all through the Old Testament, what was the Lamb? That was the sacrifice that God required. But this is not a normal sacrifice. This is what? This is the Lamb of God, which means this is the sacrifice that God sent to the earth to die for our sins. To remove what we could not remove for ourselves. It says, who takes away the sin of the world. Now, what does that mean? Well, notice, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, most everybody in here probably remembers the time when we used to get S&H green stamps or top value stamps. Remember that? Went to the gas station, they gave you stamps. You went to the store, they gave you stamps. My mom saved them. You know, I looked in those catalogs. I think in the back there was a car if you could save, you know, a million stamps or something. But Action Center. Okay, so what does this mean? This says he is the redemption through his blood. What did Christ do for us? He paid the price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. He paid with his own blood to get us free from the control of Satan, which we could not do. And he gave us the forgiveness of our sins. He willingly died for us and then willingly gave us forgiveness. And what's the cause of it? It was God's grace. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. God gave it to us out of his grace. Now, is there any sin that I can't be forgiven of? Well, notice the next verse here. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness and we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, one of the things we need to know about God's love and grace and mercy is that it's not all free. You know, he gave it to us freely, but what? He expects us to do something in return. Now, what does this say? I've got to stop sinning. I've got to stop walking in darkness. If I want to have fellowship with God, he said, you've got to walk in the light. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And what does the blood do? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, there's two wonderful promises here. No matter what I've done in the past, if I will accept Jesus Christ and his gospel, I can wipe away all sins. The New Testament says what? You become a new creature in Christ. You've got a second chance to live your life. But what else? I can every day go to God and ask him to forgive me of anything I've done that day. He will continually cleanse me of my sins if I'm willing to do what? To repent and make correction for that. But God expects us to do what? We've got to live a life that is pleasing to him. Now, what else does he do for us? Well, not only do we get the remission of our sins and become a child of God, but we have the love of God as our Father. Now, I want to ask you, if you could be a part of any family in the world, which one would you want to be? Want to be a Trump today? Want to be a Rockefeller or a Kennedy? Maybe you want to be a Witherington over here. What do we have the opportunity to do? We can be adopted into the family of God. And God becomes our loving Father. Notice, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. What's God willing to do? Take us into his family. Let us become his children. Now, Janet and I, my wife, have adopted two children. And when we adopted them, they told us the day we went to court and got it finalized. They said, these are just like your natural children. So how do we raise them? Just like our natural children. We expected the same of them as we did our own children. But now suppose you adopted a child. Would you say, okay, you can come and go as you please. You can stay out as long as you please. Whatever you want to do, do. You know, that's what people think God is. They think, well, I'm going to be a child of God. Then what? I'll just live any way that I want. He's this loving, merciful Father, so he'll take care of me. But what does the Word say? He said, if you love God, and if you appreciate the fact that he's willing to let you be a part of his family, what does he expect? He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep are not burdensome. What does that mean? He wants us to do what he asks us to do. He wants us to follow his will. Now, does he ask us to do anything that's not for our good and for our benefit? So would you adopt a child and ask him to do something that was harmful or dangerous or hurtful to him? No, everything God gives us is for our good. But if I want to be adopted into God's family, then I've got to be willing to live by his will. And then, what does a good father do? You know, I never once went to sleep worrying about whether I'd have breakfast the next morning. You know, I never worried about whether I'd have a bed to sleep in or a house or clothes to wear. Why is that? Because I had a loving mother and father, and I knew that no matter what happened, they would do everything within their power to take care of me. So I never lost a minute's sleep. I never worried once about any of that. Okay? Here's my question. Are you concerned about the economy? Are you concerned about the world situation? You lay up worrying about what's going to happen in our society and how everything's getting worse? Now let me clarify that, okay? I can have concern about how things are going on, but I shouldn't worry. Why? You know, concern is something you can do something about. Can I stop the wars over there in the Middle East? So, should I be worrying about those things? Because what have I got? I've got a loving Father who promises me that he's going to take care of me no matter what happens in this world. What's the problem? We don't trust that like we should. Now look at these passages. Matthew 6, 33. Or 31 to 34. Therefore, do not worry. What does that mean? Don't worry. Why? Saying, what shall I eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, what does the world worry about? The physical things in this life. But if you're a child of God, you know, I'm going to sell you on being a child of God. And here's one of the blessings. You don't have to worry about what's happening. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to do your part. But what? We trust God's going to take care of us. Can you go and buy an insurance policy that says you'll never go hungry, you'll never go without clothes, you'll always have what you need? You know, we're insurance poor, but you can't buy that policy. But what? You can get it from God. What does it say? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Then what? What does he want from us? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, if I'm a child of God, what does he want from me? He wants me to put him first. Now, what does that mean? That means, you know, I'm a free moral agent. So what? Every choice that I make has to be what? What does God want me to do? That's putting God first. And then I'm going to serve him no matter what. And then what does he say? All these things shall be added to you. Now, did he say some? Or maybe, you know, what's the wording here? God is saying, I'm going to take care of you. I'm your loving Father, and I'm going to let you go hungry or naked. And look at the rest of it. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There's one of the best pieces of advice that you'll find anywhere in the world. What does it say? Live every day to the fullest. You wake up and think, Let's look at the next chapter. Matthew 7 says what? Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. What we got to do? Ask, seek, and knock. Do we do that? See, we try to solve all of our own problems. But look at the promise. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Did he say sometimes or maybe? Now, do we believe that? That God's going to help us? I don't have to worry. I don't have to be overly concerned. And then he gives you an illustration. For what man is there among you, if his son asks for a bread, will he give him a stone? Okay, now, whichever mother in here ever handed their child a rock and said, chew on this, hold up your hand. Do we do that? You know what we do as parents? We give our child nourishing food. We care and nurture them. We would not give them a rock. Or he says, if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Would you hand him a snake? No, we wouldn't do anything to hurt him. We love him. Okay, does God love us? What does it say? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those that ask him? And I said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, what does that mean? We're limited. The evil here doesn't mean that we're wicked, but it means what? That we're not able to give our children maybe everything that we would like to. Here's the point. Did God do more for us than we can do for our own children? But do you believe that? See, we don't have to worry. But that's not easy, is it? So we got to learn to trust God more. And then, and I hope you can see the progression here. You know, when I get rid of my sins, then what? God accepts me as one of his children, and I become one of his. And then he's going to make sure that the necessities of life are taken care of. Now, don't misunderstand me. You know, I can't sit down at the table on the tomorrow morning and say, Lord, give me eggs, bacon, and jelly. And it just falls out of the sky. Well, we got to do our part. But God says he'll take care of us as his children. And what do we have? The privilege of prayer. What's prayer? Well, it's talking to God. Now, let me ask you. Suppose you're concerned about the way this country is going. Can you call up President Trump and say, I've got a few suggestions I'd like to give you. When can we get together and meet? What's your chances of getting to talk to President Trump? How about Rick Scott, the governor? Say, you know, I think there's some things that's wrong here in Florida. Can I get together and help you? I don't know if Sefner has a mayor or not, but let's say that whatever you need. If you need food or clothing or things for your family, what do? You go to work. And God will help you. But this says we have access to the Creator of heaven and earth. He's our Father, and He wants us to pray to Him. Now notice 1 Peter 3:12. Now most of you, I think, know I've got a 3-year-old grandson. He's been here before. Well, see, he's at the age now. It used to be he'd sit in the car or he'd hold Grandpa's hand, but already at 3, he says, "Let's go to Walmart." Okay, he knows Walmart. That's the biggest store in Litchfield, okay? So we go to Walmart. What? He don't want to hold my hand. You know, he wants to be turned loose. Do you think I ever take my eyes off of him in Walmart? Why? Because I love him. And I'm listening. If he starts crying or if he starts getting into trouble, well, I'm going to be there. Now, let me ask you, what's this passage mean? What's it say? Who's God watching out for? Who's God concerned about? Who's He listening for? You and me. He says, for the eyes of the Lord are what? On the righteous. See, there we are again. You know, God doesn't force me to be one of His children, but if I'll do what's right, and if I'll be one of His children, then He's going to be watching over me. He's going to be protecting me from harm. He's going to make sure that things are going well with me. And He's listening for my prayers. And then what? But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Does that mean God doesn't care? You know, Gerald's a real nice guy up here. He fed us dinner tonight, and I appreciated that very much. But now suppose I went to him and said, "Gerald, you know, my grandson needs a new pair of tennis shoes. Could you spare me a little money?" You know, he probably would. And I'm sure he would. Say, "Okay, how much do you need?" But is that his obligation? See, that's my obligation. Because I'm raising my grandson, not Jared. So does God care about all mankind? Absolutely. But who's getting that special care? Who's God watching over? Who's He listening for their requests and their needs and their problems in life? So we can pray to God about anything. But if you're not trying to do what's right, then that's not a prayer God's going to answer. We have to want to serve God. Now, what else? What does everybody want in life? What's peace of mind? Well, it means contentment and happiness. Now, what's the world's idea of happiness? What would make everybody happy? If I went around Sapner here and went from house to house and said, "What would make you happy?" What would everybody say? 90%. If I could win one of those big lotteries, all my problems would go away. Is that true? And what gives us peace of mind? Well, I believe what it's talking about here is that when you become a child of God, that as we've already shown, is God going to take care of your physical problems? If He's going to make sure that I have the necessities of life with my help, and He's going to be there to answer and help me through the problems, we showed that last night. Well, but God's in control, and so He's going to help us, and we use Joseph as an example of that. Joseph started out as a shepherd boy, and what? Ended up as the most powerful man on earth. How did that happen? Because God was with him. So, if I'm a child of God, do I have any worry about physical things? No. He said, don't worry. And if you're a child of I'm ready to go. See, that's real peace of mind. That we live every day to the fullest, not worrying about the future, being content with what we have here on this earth. Now look at how the Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. How do you do that? What did he say? Sometime, part of the time, we talked yesterday, what? We ought to be the most positive, upbeat people on the earth because we've got all these wonderful blessings. And Paul said, rejoice always. So what's the qualifier? In the Lord. That's where you get the peace of mind. And then he says, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. That means do good to others. And the Lord is at hand means I need to live every day as though this were my last day on earth. Because could it be? If I live as though the Lord is at hand, then I'm going to be ready to die and to go to eternity. Because it can happen any moment. And then what? Be anxious for nothing. Well, I'm a worrywart. Don't need to be. Trusting God. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You got something you're concerned about? You got something you're worrying about? You got something you're overly anxious about? What's the Christian's answer? Pray to God. Pray to God. Then, what's the result? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? It passes all understanding. Does the world know how to get this peace? Now, we said, what's their idea? Make a lot of money. Have a lot of fun. Get retired. You know, we got all kinds of things. But this only comes from God. Because we're right with God and He's going to protect us here and give us a home in heaven. Now notice, He said it will guard your hearts and minds. What does that mean? I thought the Bible heart was your mind. Well, are there some things that we're worried or concerned about that never happen? And are there other times when they're real concerns? What? God will take care of both. He'll help us with it. But see, you've got to be a child of God. And you've got to be willing to let Him help you. John 14:27, Jesus said what? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here's my question. What are you afraid of? See, if you've got fears, what does that mean? You're not trusting in God enough? Now, again, we all are anxious. We all have concerns. But what? We've got to learn to trust in God. He said, there's no reason for you to be afraid. You know, I never lay awake one single night worrying about whether there'd be Cheerios in the morning. Because I knew God would let Mom and Dad take care of that. Do we feel the same way about God? We can have peace of mind. And then, as we talked about last night, God promises what? That He's going to take care of us. Not only is He going to take care of us, but He's going to help us through the difficult times in life. You know, we're not promised that when you become a Christian, this is a fairy tale life where everything always goes well. Or you live happily ever after. But notice, Isaiah 40, and we read the last couple of verses of been here forever, and he'll be here forever. The Lord means what? He's in control. He's the ruler and the creator of the ends of the earth. Now, have you ever had a product and the day after the warranty runs out, something happens? And you call up the company and they say, what? I'm sorry, your warranty's out. What happened? Why did they put that in there? See, they don't want to be on the hook forever. They get tired. They get weary of bringing back these products. Does God get that way? What does it say? He neither faints nor is weary. And then what? His understanding is unsearchable. Does he know us and know what we need and what we're going through and what we're suffering? Absolutely. And what? He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no mind, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Okay, is it just old people that have problems? Young people can too. And then what? And the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But if we're willing to wait on the Lord, God's going to help us through any problems. We can have the wings of an eagle. Okay? What else? Romans 8 said what? We used again verse 28 last night. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Again, remember what? These blessings are not for the entire world, but what? For those that are Christians, those who are called according to His purpose, those who love God. Now I want you to look at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Again, do we believe that? Do we trust in that? God's never going to leave us or forsake us. We have to leave God. And nothing is going to hurt us. You know, in this chapter, Paul goes through all the things that the Roman Christians were suffering and said, nothing can separate you from the love of God. You can make it if you remain faithful to God. And then, are you enjoying your life here on earth? Look at what we're told. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What's eating and drinking here? Well, that's the necessities of life. We have to eat food and drink in order to survive. But what are we told here? There's something more important. That is, if I will live in righteousness, doing God's will, I can have a peace of mind. And not only that, well, I can find joy here on this earth. And I appreciated the prayer a moment ago. You know, we ought to be enjoying our life. We ought to be enjoying each other. We ought to be happy with what we've got here on this earth. We ought to be serving God with joy. And then, again, what did Philippians say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And then, is it going to be worth it? Now, what did the Kirby vacuum cleaner company say? When you see when they come around door to door, what did they sell you on? This is a lifetime vacuum. You're never going to have to buy another. If this one breaks down, what can you do? You can send it back and we'll send you a new one. You know, we did that once. I got an old one there at Anderson. I sent it in. They sent me a new one. I didn't even buy it. But that was their big pitch. You got a one-time vacuum. me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What are we promised? That whatever labor we give here, even though it's going to be a joyful time here on earth, God's not going to forget about what we went through. He's not going to forget about all the sacrifices we make. And he's going to do what? Give us rest for eternity. And then he adds, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what's a yoke? Well, that's what they put around the cows to make them pull the weight. And yes, there's some things we have to do to be a Christian. There's some things we have to sacrifice and some weights we have to bear. But when we get to heaven, are we going to worry about any of that? He said we're going to have rest for our souls. Revelation 14:13 says, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. You know, is death the worst thing that can happen to a Christian? You know, what are you here for? What are we working for? We want to go to heaven. So if God says you can come a little bit early, is that a bad thing? So see, Christians can look even at death in a different way because we're not afraid to die. In fact, we're working to do what? To die and go and rest from our labors and spend eternity in a place far more wonderful than anything here on earth. And of course, that's the last point, that eternal life with God in heaven is what we're going to have. So what's the Christian life? It gives me everything I need here on this earth, and then what? There's a life insurance policy. I can go and spend eternity with God in heaven. And what? We have a living hope. What does that mean? Well, what do people do that have no hope? They kill themselves most of the time. See, what we know that no matter what I go through in this life, no matter what I have to suffer, no matter what illnesses I have, no matter what challenges I have, what do I have? I have the hope of something better. Notice what we're so told in John. You know, Jesus, when he's leaving, tells his disciples, don't worry. Why? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. But think about this. Christ is the Son of God. We're adopted children of God. You know, the judge told me when you adopt that child, they become just like your natural. What's Jesus say here? Where are we going to be? We're going to be right there in heaven with him. We're going to share with God and Christ. And then he said, blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Then what? Who are kept by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Do I have to do it all on my own? God said, I'll give you the power. What do you got to do? You got to want it bad enough to take advantage of what God gives you. Now, in any sail ship, what's the last thing? You know, you've got all these wonderful benefits they're telling you about, and then what do you want to know? And they stall this off to the last. Okay, how much is this going to cost me? and you buy it, you know, it's free. But I have to do something. What does it say? You know, here are the blessings. Remission of sins, love of God as our Father, necessities of life, the privilege of prayer, peace of mind, God's care, joy, rest, and eternal life. And then he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. What do I got to do? I've got to believe that God, through his love and grace and mercy, sent Christ here to this earth. That he died for my sins. And then I've got to repent of those sins, and I'm baptized into Christ, and I become a Christian. No money. Just a